Blog Talk Radio.
You ready? How many times have I told you, fellas? You gotta play the right kind of music to get people in the mood. So if, by all means, Off the Rails Uncensored means uncensored, why not give a tribute to one of the greatest people that never censored himself in the business? How about a little punk-like atmosphere?
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something
I'm sorry, folks. I was just jamming out. Having a damn good time as usual. Off the Rails Uncensored has just begun. And while I'm pulling up the results for SmackDown Live, I did get a chance to see it. I just was really, really tired. You know, I know you're handing me the notes. This is kind of funny. So, yes, please, let's get SmackDown Live. The review. I know, it's kind of funny, right? Hit my music. I get it. You guys are trying to make a point because I'm over here. What the point SmackDown Live was trying to emphasize is that Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens were supposed to be live face-to-face. We all knew that it was going to go down in the way that we all thought and saw. So here's the deal. Let's see. This is the SmackDown Live before Hell in a Cell comes about. So you have a lot of things going on. And one of those things, I believe, okay, enough of that. You monkeys have really kind of fucked up the whole mood for me. The sound guys, not you guys. I love you guys, the fans, that is. So, let's see here. How did SmackDown Live kick off? Well, let's see here. I know this sounds like a very sloppy review, but I do realize that this Sunday is going to be for several championships, including the Women's Championship, Charlotte versus Natalia, Flair versus Hart. This is going to be interesting. Neidhart, that is. Natalia Neidhart. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. The Usos versus the New Day inside of Hell in a Cell for the Tag SmackDown Live World Tag Team Championships. How Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin were not added in that mix, I don't know, but it's okay. We'll just go with what we got. Okay, so what exactly went down. I know that the Hype Brothers are on the cusp of breaking up as a team. I know that sounds very Mark-ish of me, but kind of hoping that Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable would have at least been in the title picture, because it would have added some flavor to the mix. Call me crazy, as I naturally am. So, finally, I get the right results. Okay, not 205 live. So, Jinder Mahal attacks Shinsuke Nakamura. Let's see, Owens. This is interesting. So I guess Owens is talking about the violent things that he's going to do to Shane. And then basically Shane McMahon is crazy enough to come back to the ring, blah, blah, blah. Ew, this is great. Aiden English versus Randy Orton. Oh my. I think this is a bit odd that they're showing results from last week's show, considering that it was supposed to be the results for this week's show. Thank you guys once again. Ah, here we are. Finally. Kevin Owens. So apparently, you know, you've got the whole ordeal with Shane. The reason why this entire fight began is because Kevin Owens said to Shane, you know, it would have been, the world would have been a much better place had you not survived that helicopter crash, blah, 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 blah. So in other words, we got a nice little build between, you know, Kevin Owens and Shane, and I'm sorry, guys, if I'm not focused on the other talent, but come on. Shane McMahon is historically known for doing crazy shit in his past. He's done so against The Big Show, Kane, Kurt Angle. Hell, I mean, Shane's been fed to the wolves so many times, it's not even funny. So, all in all, SmackDown analysis, Shinsuke Nakamura, Jinder Mahal. At Hell in a Cell. Now, okay, so even on SmackDown Live, you know, things are getting highly interesting. I don't know why, but you know, the kickoff show is just as important as the rest of the show. You got to set the tone, right? For that being Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. Now, is there any other things that I need to remember to advertise for you guys? Oh, yes. Next week, guys, we're going to take a break from the SmackDown Live review, which has gone awry. So I'm just going to put it like this. The advertisements. If you would like to go to Danny Cage's camp, there are still spots available for the 13th and 14th of this month. For more information, go to monsterfactory.org. Contact Danny Cage directly. His number should be on the car, on the website, and basically he's got an email address if you choose or prefer. You don't want to talk on the phone. That's fine. I know Danny's a very scary person, but very nice. He's scary, but nice. Anyways, so continuing the advertisements, folks. Speaking of networks, go to MF Network. There's a link on the website on monsterfactory.org. If you would like to see all the cool sites, happenings, and whereabouts of Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey, you can do so by even further and deeper, get more in depth with the Monster Factory. And Danny Cage, and much, much more. For those of you wanting to sign up for the WWE Network, you can go to WWE.com, click on the Network tab, sign up with a valid email and password. You get your first month free. For those of you who don't like the hassle of debit and credit cards, to get a 3-month plus an additional month free, that's 4 months of the network with plenty of footage of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, TNA, ECW, WCW, WWE, NWA, Mid-South Wrestling, so on and so forth. You will see a lot of footage. And type in the name of a wrestler, you can find out what he or she has done throughout wrestling history. So, ladies and gents, please, please sign up for the network, because you are going to be getting into Survivor Series pretty soon and also NXT. So, again, you can sign up also with a valid username, password, with a debit or credit card, and that lasts you $9.99 a month after the first billing, which should be after the first month, which is free if you have not signed up for WWE Network. Again, they will charge you about $10.99 at first, just to see if your credit runs through. They'll take a dollar from that $9.99. For more information, please visit WWE.com to set up any more information. Thank you so much. Also, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Be sure to visit SusanGComen.org to fight the good fight against cancer. Donate what you can to help fund the research to prevent and also have lots of remissions so that people can survive this thing called breast cancer and kick it right in the ass. For those of you wanting to complete a Make-A-Wish or be a Make-A-Wisher, go to makeawish.com. Be sure to sign up and sign up quick. Make your child's wish come true, whether it be Triple H, John Cena, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dean Ambrose, Shawn Michaels, it doesn't matter. Make a child's wish come true. Being, you know, it could be Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns. Make your wish come true. Make your child's wish come true. Make them forget about whatever it is they're going through at makeawish.com. For anything Evolve, Ring of Honor, Wrestling, the Wrestling Revolver, you can go through flowslam.com to get PWG, IWGP, New Japan Wrestling, and so on and so forth. You can have a Roku to do this. You can have an Apple TV box to do this. Be sure to go to flowslam.com. Their subscription is probably $9.99 per month. Also, New Japan has an offer extension for their network. You can catch superstars like Kenny Omega, Ethan Page, Darby Allin, Young, Johnny Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose. You can also check out Palmer. You definitely catch, yeah, exactly, Cobb. You can check out various variety of people, Matthew Riddle. So, go, folks, go check out FlowSlam. Keith Lee, of course, Joey Ryan, Candice LeRae, Jessica Havoc, Sami Callihan, so much more. Be sure, oh, and Trevor Lee. So be sure to catch, speaking of the Wrestling Revolver, they have an event coming up in Clive, Iowa. It's called Tales from the Ring. You can catch the awesome, the one, the only, Philip Stamper. And you can also catch the man, I call him the man, Sami Callihan in Clive, Iowa. There will be a six-way scramble, a ladder match, and much, much more to be expected from the Wrestling Revolver in Clive. Be sure to bring your kids. You're going to have an awesome, awesome, amazing time. There's going to be plenty happening in wrestling in Iowa that month. 3XW is there. WWE's SmackDown, or no, Monday Night Raw might be there. And this is going to be a heavy-inducing of wrestling. I guess, you know, what you could say is a lot's happening. So, as I was saying, SmackDown Live was very, very interesting. Had a lot of stuff going on. Randy Orton, pairing him with Aiden English and Rusev, they work well together. So, that's all I have to say regarding my SmackDown Live review. Oh my gosh, I'm not even an hour into the show. I'm only 15 minutes in. But I will say this, guys. Hell in a Cell basically is done so-so, I guess. A lot of the fans tend to bitch about how the quality was shitty because the superstars didn't utilize the Cell. I guess they learned from their mistakes, guys. Look at Mick Foley. The man can barely bend over and tie his shoe because of all those horrific matches that he had in his past. But what am I getting at? Hell in a Cell just doesn't feel like Hell in a Cell. Are you sure? Because there's a lot of animosity built up between the wrestlers, like Charlotte. Let's see. Charlotte and Natalya. And let's see. Oh, while I'm thinking on things, there's just plenty of rivalries brewing, like Shinsuke Nakamura, Paul, AJ Styles putting his U.S. Championship on the line. I don't think a lot of people realize this, but it's kind of cool. If you notice, there's some championship matches involved that make sense. Not saying that No Mercy didn't have championship caliber matches or great quality matches, but Down Live, he's always been the better brand. And that's just preference, because Monday Night Raw, like I told you earlier on the last show, puts people to sleep. Much like when I babble sometimes, put people to sleep. So I just want to tell you right now, the preview for Hell in a Cell sounds something like this. If you want to see some intrigue, you don't know who's going to win, but you sure as hell hope that certain people do, because, well, this crowd, like me, is very picky. So here's what I got to tell you. If, in fact, you do decide to watch Hell in a Cell like me, don't be disappointed. Just look at what they give you. Because on Raw, they gave you a teaser for The Shield. They had a lot of good stuff going on. Look at The Miz. He got a bunch of crowd pops. The crowd either really loves The Miz, depending on location and where he is, or they just boo him because he just knows how to antagonize the crowd. And he, I don't know why, but he's, for what he's worth, or for what it's worth, he did his job on both SmackDown Live and Monday Night Raw. So, what about, oh, I forgot to tell you all something. Hell in a Cell, Usos versus The New Day. Hang on 1 second. Okay, so as I was getting some notes from my friends, the Usos have won tag team championships multiple times, so is The New Day. These two mesh really well together. And I got to, not to be a boring, like, ESPN analysis, you know, this. What I like about the Usos is that they bring a certain kind of edge to the tag team division. New Day, they basically, I don't know. They're a very entertaining group of people, but to take them seriously at Hell in a Cell, maybe I might be proven wrong, but I just don't see the dynamic that makes them to be taken seriously. Kofi Kingston had that one match with Randy Orton on Monday Night Raw, and that match went all over the place in Madison Square Garden. Pretty cool. So I guess Kofi, yes. Big E, I'm not sure, but he's the powerhouse. Maybe something cool happened. I don't know, guys. That match has my attention for the wrong reason. And I really should be trying to enjoy this as a fan, but I, from my perspective, I look at New Day and I look at the Usos. They're very talented teams. And I'm going to favor the Usos in this because they seem like they've got the edge in all departments when it comes to Hell in a Cell. New Day, to me, they just seem like the group that you get autographs from, your kids get autographs from, take pictures with, and have a good time. The Usos, they're the team that's rough and tough around the edges, and they don't take shit from anybody. So in other words, they're like the street team that you don't want to fuck with. Now, why so much analysis on this? Because Hell in a Cell, let's face it, over the past few years, Hell in a Cell really hadn't been that entertaining. And did it give us a show? Yes. Did they give us a show? WWE did, yes. But that was before they had all the NXT takeovers, they had all the superstars being imported from Japan, Ireland, England, wherever, everywhere on the map. So this is going to be interesting because this is all leading up to Survivor Series in Houston, where championships may change, like the women's title on SmackDown Live, the Raw Women's Championship may change at TLC. You don't quite know. But Hell in a Cell, I can guarantee you, is going to be one of those pay-per-views that you don't know until you actually sit down and start watching it to start being the judge for yourself as a fan. As fans, we saw the first ever Hell in a Cell match last year between Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair. Now, Charlotte Flair is involved again in the championship match. And she's facing off with a fierce competitor, Natalya. Hopefully this pulls off as a good match because I know that Natalya is very technically sound. Charlotte Flair, some people feel that she just got in by name. So, fuck what. You know what? I just want to enjoy this Sunday because wrestling is like a very good therapy for me. And Hell in a Cell, why not? I mean, there's two Hell in a Cell matches that I am well aware of. One being Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens. Now, again, how do you include an audience or draw them in like moths to a flame? Answer lies within, okay, what can they do to get the audience going? Well, I will say, though, I know I've been slacking on reporting about other wrestling. Yes. At the Wrestling Revolver? Yeah, I guess I didn't slack this time. No, do not scratch me with the scratcher. That is not cool. You're just being smart asses, aren't you? Well, here's my thing. I mean, I can answer that question. Do I believe that wrestling only exists in WWE? No. There's wrestling out there. It's called ICW, IWGP, New Japan, Ring of Honor, Future of Honor. I know of the names I'm not familiar with. I'd have to familiarize myself with some other names other than Donovan Dijak and the people that are basically signed, like Leo Rush. There are other names. Yes, I completely understand. So am I upset that people are calling me out for just reporting WWE? Which, by the way, no, I'm not. I'm not really shocked because here's the thing. Could you remember over 100 names in professional wrestling unless you were the host with the most? I mean, seriously. It's kind of a task to remember said names, and I feel like I'm disrespecting it in some kind of way, but not really, because pro wrestling was built on reporting what's going on currently. I reported one other side of the spectrum, so I don't feel as bad. Not out of guilt. That's kind of mean. Anyways, folks, holy cow, still have some time to kill for the hour upon which I really want to discuss with you all. I'm going to answer that question right now. The reason why is because exactly. It's not a sin just to report one organization. Look, if I was to report a whole entire hour devoted to talking about Ring of Honor or PWG or, you know, outside the wrestling spectrum that I'm comfortable discussing, so that wouldn't be too hard, because when you're part of the business and then formerly part of the business, you tend to find ways to do research. So give me a second while I answer some questions, folks. Oopsies, hang on a minute. As you can tell, I'm typing some stuff out. And I'll be with you in just a second, folks. Kind of boring, really, isn't it? I agree. I completely agree 100%. I don't know, maybe so. I'm sorry, folks, for the dead air time. I'm just trying to pass. But here's the thing. Okay, I think that it's high time that I discuss with you all in a minute what I feel is important in the world of wrestling. Now, this is just opinion-based, but it's also what I've seen on social media that either bothers the fuck out of me or just have to speak on because, well, something needs to be said, good and bad. So, should I start with the bad or the good first? That's the question. I mean, overanalyzing shit can get old. So I figured, why not drag something to talk about that it's been bugging me that I haven't got this off my chest, and I really should have the first episode of Off the Rails in such a minute, and I would have run out of stuff to talk about. So I guess you guys could stop me any time, any minute. Well, you know what? I could just keep at it. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. Okay, folks, for this one, I can actually sit back and relax and just tell it like it is, as I normally do. Today's topic is we're going to talk about how fans and wrestlers and referees use terminologies. Oh, man. Okay, so here's how I'm going to open this subject up. I happened to see something on social media that really kind of bothered me, and here's why. When you're a wrestler, you use the terminologies marks, smarks, just plain asshole, you know, with the fans being, you know, that way. Fans, it just kind of evolved into using all of the terms, including heel, baby face, turn, heel turn, face turn, tweener. I just want to point this out. From a fan's perspective, you know, they read, they watch, they listen, they adapt to the environment around them. So here's what I have to tell you. Some stuff that you already know. Fans are going to use terminologies because it makes them feel like, okay, cool, I'm using legit terminology. There's nothing I can say that'll be annoying to a worker. And then the workers. You got, okay, so we use terms mark, smart, baby face, bump, bot. No, you don't ever hear botch. But you do use terminologies, wrestling terminologies, wrestling terms. So if I take a bump in the corner, how am I going to take three strikes, three ear strikes, boom, boom, I get up, I hit you, I give you two, duck my line, give me a thumb to the eye, and I'll start the heat, blah, blah, blah. See, there's the super fan who knows every single term possible. So, I don't know how else to tell you this, but here's my thing. I'm going to give you, from a fan's perspective, allowing to use terminology around workers makes you look cool. Just a word of advice. Or just a word of wisdom. Same thing, I guess. Don't use terminology in front of workers. It's kind of looked or frowned upon. Just use it amongst friends. Who the fuck cares what you say? Workers! Aren't we all marks for somebody? And if you say you're not, I'm going to say what Triple H said to Shawn Michaels. Liar. Be lying to yourself if you said you weren't a mark. Give me a fucking break. If you sit there and say, here's my thing, and this is what bugged me. I saw this on social media, and I'm going to say something. If you wonder why a bunch of fans are complaining, or they're trying to analyze the show, it's because they're fans, motherfucker. They are fans. If you don't agree with that assessment, then obviously you missed the boat. This is not 1965. This is not 1973, 81, 92, whatever. This is professional wrestling current day, where fans like to bitch, gripe, bellyache, do whatever they have to get things off their chest. Some of us have podcasts. Some of us are former managers. Therefore, when you say that they cannot complain about certain something, dude, pick your tongue up, throw it over your fucking shoulder, and say the following. We were all marks for somebody. I'm sure when you were a child and you saw your favorite wrestler, what did you do? You marked out for them. But now we have social media platforms that make it unbearable to enjoy a fucking show. So we're like, oh, well, I really like this, but I didn't like that. It's called being a fan. And fans, when you're in front of a worker, when you sit and watch a show like Monday Night Raw or Ring of Honor or Wrestling Revolver, enjoy it. Chant. Do whatever you want. But I find it unnerving when somebody psychoanalyzes what fans do. That's analyzing, dude. That's calling the kettle black. I'm not sorry for raising my voice. I'm not sorry for getting angry. And also, another thing, what annoys me more than anything is the subtle jabs on Facebook through advice. Please stop doing that. If I'm going to jab you right in the jaw as a boxer, I'm going to jab you. I'm not going to give you one punch, two punch, three. No, I'm going to knock your ass out. If I'm trying to be helpful, that there's a difference between being helpful and being an ass because you think your shit doesn't stink. So in other words, give out advice, but do so however the fuck you want to give advice. Don't be a subtle jackass about it. I hate those kinds of people. Do you know why? Because they're trying to give hints that I'm not well aware of, and I just think, okay, well, maybe it, you know, whatever they're saying on advice columns is about, you know, just be cool, be calm, be collected. I don't think that's in my nature. So when it comes to giving advice in the wrestling business or listening to said advice, here's my fucking thing. I will cherry pick what sounds plausible and apply it as best I can. I'm not going to sit there word for word, per verbatim, every word, you should soak up this. In wrestling, really, if you try to soak up one person, that's how they got to the business. That is how they, everyone says, well, it's the same formula. If you shut up, if you do this and you do that, easier said than done, motherfucker. Easier said than done. If you want to sit and you want to listen to advice, go to seminars. That's the best place to sit and stew or sit and gain knowledge over someone who has been in the business. So in other words, how in the world can someone in the wrestling business, this is what gets us in trouble as workers. If we use, term Mark was used for fanboys who follow closely over certain person that they really, really, really like, and they emulate everything they do. That's also being a mark. So you're telling me that Kevin Owens or Dean Ambrose or guys that are in the business aren't marks for somebody, or admirers. Is that a better term for workers? I mean, I hate people who distinct themselves as people. Well, fans can, you know, fans will just shut the fuck up and enjoy a show. Excuse me. If they present a better product for the majority of us, for not to bitch at, because half and half, oh yes, 50-50 booking. It's what, let them be. Don't tweet about it. So for me, I'll admit I'm a mark for Jim Cornette. I also was one for Bobby Heenan. And the reason why I, as a podcast host, get so worked up about certain things because I'm passionate. There's a difference between being passionate and bitching. I do bitch a lot. But passionate about what I'm talking about, meaning professional wrestling, is something that I've watched since I was 4 years old. Okay? Does that make me a bar higher or bar above people? No. Does that make me better than most people? I can answer that question for you all right here, right now. The answer is no, because the only thing that separates a fan from whatever it is, you know, a worker, is that a fan, when confronted with the truth, anybody that matter, some of them don't know how to take it. So I could tell you lies and say, oh, you know, I like being told the truth, you know, when a worker tells me to fuck off. No. Does anybody get what I'm trying to say? It's not cool that you, you know, some of you treat it as if fans are a plague. No, yeah, I get the constant bitching part where that's not cool. Nobody likes a negative Nancy. Nobody also likes somebody that looks down upon people either. I'm not going to name names because if somebody legit says, I don't like the fans psychoanalyzing, they need to stop their bitching. Excuse me, sir. Why don't you turn on the current product and tell me what's good about it and what's bad about it? You'll find that it balances each other out. And stuff that fans bitch about, yes, they need more reasoning other than the fact that, well, he beat Undertaker. Oh, he's just not cut out to be babyface for the company. Oh, he's the next John Cena. Yes, there's more concrete reasons for fans to bitch. It just so happens that, you know, certain people use social media as kind of their, you know, their way of saying, I'm sick and tired of this bullshit. I'm sick and tired of listening to this. Well, guys, here's the thing. The reason why I get upset is because if it weren't for the fans, what would you have to discuss? Who would pay to come see you? All you owe us, like Lance Storm said, is a good show. I know I mentioned Lance Storm several times here, but, you know, same wave of compliments and also criticism, be like, well, if you look at things from this perspective, you're going to be like this. Pardon my fucking French. But the next person who sits and tells fans what to do, then, you know, that's all up to you, dude. If fans want to gripe and they want to be bitches about things, let them. Because that comment just backfired. It seriously did. The reason why I'm not naming names is not because I'm afraid. It's because I'm just kind of wondering what kind of pain do people endure when they watch a show and you know what you want, but they don't give it to you? It's like being a spoiled child. You watch some great wrestling over the decades, and then it just goes to be complete and utter bullshit. How is it complete and utter bullshit if you don't give the details as to why it's complete and utter bullshit? It's not an essay, damn it. It's simple. It's been there since the beginning of time. What element? You want to be entertained. So how do you pull in an audience? How do you get people getting, you know, get going on your social media? I mean, I don't get it. I don't get how workers can sit there and just think that fans won't pay attention to what they're saying. So it's okay for workers to use terminologies? Yes, because in a sense, they're the ones putting their bodies on the line. They're the ones sacrificing time away from their family. They're the ones bleeding or not, getting in the ring, entertaining, doing their moves that they not practice, but spar with other people for. So fans, they need to quit using terminologies to an extent. Wrestlers, it's like the code has been cracked. Some fans knew back in the day too what a heel and a baby face were, because you learn those terminologies through comic books. You have your heels, which is Lex Luthor, then you have your baby face, which is Superman. There you go. And how often does Lex Luthor, you know, do something very heel-like pretty often because he's a bad guy. Then you've got elements like, okay, The Undertaker was a bad guy back then. He was known as Mark Calloway in WCW. But what elements made him bad guy is when they transformed his character into The Undertaker. He's 6'10", and Paul Bearer, or Percival Pringle, or William Moody. See, I can be Markish like that and throw out names. But I will tell you, there's a line that needs to be drawn about using the terms loosely and, you know, berating-wise is what I meant. If you're going to berate fans for reacting to something, then you can sit on the sidelines and go fuck yourself. Because fans are the ones that boo you, cheer you, and could determine your fate through a promoter. The promoter says, you know, if he's a good one or she is a good one, they will recognize what consistencies they can use to get fans going and what consistencies they use to not get going. And if you're one of those that's a regular and you stink up the joint and you get booed out of fucking buildings and yet you still have a job, gee, it's a wonder why fans complain. Because the chronological things that go on in wrestling, fans will find something to bitch at. But they're fans, and it is their right. So you want my little 2 cents on what's going on? There comes a time, folks, when we, as the wrestling community, are either close with one another or not. And there just happens to be certain people that are stuck in the old traditional ways of wrestling that just need to stop. I mean, you're really hurting yourself if you think that people are still going to want the traditional thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not, you know, necessarily a good thing either, because certain wrestling, you know, around the indies will be stuck forever in whatever golden age they were stuck in, whether it be the 1980s, whether it be the 90s, which was a good time for pro wrestling. Not the early 90s, probably the mid-90s. Point, you had a lot of stuff going on. WCW, you had ECW, USWA, the territories were still around. I think that the goal for professional wrestling should be, and this is just my opinion, it shouldn't be, oh my God, I can't believe that this happened. I'm not going to watch wrestling anymore. That's the type of bitching that gets to be unnerving. People want to bitch about, oh, I can't believe this happened or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Normal. Okay? And yes, I have a friend, you know, who gets really into wrestling as well. And I would, you know, just share both sides because, look, there's a saying that says there's two sides to every story. So, in retrospect, when you watch a pay-per-view, when you watch a live event, when you watch an indie event, there's really no difference between all three. It's wrestling to me. There's a wrestling ring, and there's two or more guys or gals getting in that ring and kicking some ass for their company, respectively. I have never, you know, seeing a trend that goes on. And certain workers, you know, they make a joke out of it. Certain fans won't get it because they see things from their perspective and what their friends are around and what they tell them. Now, I don't feel intimidated when a worker says, oh, what are you, a mark? Yeah, that's why I brought my fucking suit to the locker room and, you know, my manager attire. Oh. Yes. Because managers are basically marks that turned into workers, right? And the stereotypes can go on and on and on. The bitching, the moaning, the whining, the complaining needs to stop from both ends. Much like I tried explaining to certain people, you know, yesterday about Enzo and Corey Graves, how there's two sides to every story. Corey Graves really shouldn't have tweeted at Enzo because as of the moment, not a lot of people are Enzo's friends, per se. So how does this affect, you know, what I'm doing? Okay, when I notice something stupid, I'm going to point it out. That's because it gives me something to talk about on this wrestling podcast, right? So the response from Enzo to Corey was, no, you didn't fail at fatherhood, you failed at wrestling. Knowing that Corey Graves had suffered a succession of concussions and could not be allowed to wrestle, technically, I don't know, because his career with Neville, I don't know how you'd describe it before there was the whole 205 Live, before there was the European Tour and the Mae Young Classic. I looked at Corey Graves, not a bad worker. I look at Enzo Amore. He draws attention, both negative and positive. So my theory is, if people want to think the way they do, you're not going to change them. Plain and simple, but it's okay for all of us humanoids to vent about what certain people do. That's because it's human nature. And it's human nature to vent about what fucking bothers us. And what bothers me is when workers look down upon fans in a way as if to say, well, they're dumb as, you know, their IQ is 12. That's true in certain regards. There are certain ones that really truly do fit the description, so the shoe actually does fit. However, when it comes to psychoanalyzing a pay-per-view or a single event and you're upset about it, that's really not, it's not fair. To each their own. On that, what I'm talking about is when fans start saying, I like how in the match this happened, but I wasn't so understanding of this happened. Can you explain it? They're asking a manager. You know, sometimes this does happen. When you say, well, what was your opinion? I'm going to give it to you straight, whether your match was good or it blew more than Jenna Jameson on a porn set. How is it inappropriate? There's the fan that you can never surprise and claim to know the outcome. There's the fan that is so cool, calm, and collected. Big shout out to my boys back in Kansas City, Joe Safakis and Michael Safakis. How you doing? There are fans that you can conversate with and get along with and just tell them why you think this happened and what happened. It just becomes a great conversation. And there's no arguing. Then there's the fans that are the incessant know-it-all pains in the asses, which means I think this is how things should go, and your opinion really doesn't fucking matter, so I'm just going to trample all over it. It's the same way in the wrestling locker room. I mean, come on. That's why shut mouth, open eyes, and ears open. You tend to look at what really matters when you're outside the walls of the business, because you see it from where you used to be. And I can tell you, certain people's perspectives depending on which group they come from, which group they train with, they're going to tell you different things, but it all centers around the same thing. Professional wrestling. How people seem to think that they're a pay grade above one another is hilarious to me. Even if you're in WWE, you're on a bigger scale, you're on like the grander stage, you have more pressure, you know, on you because you have to perform to the standard of what the company wants you to perform at. That's why a lot of guys fizzled out. See? I'm analyzing. Just from what I've seen, I mean, God, you know, time after time, you see different people come in from NXT. You see people come in from Ring of Honor, New Japan, IWGP, PWG. It just so happens, you know, people have their rage moments, much like I did. There tends to be people who you can agree with, disagree with. That's just life in general. And what really bothers me is when people start talking down, as if I'm better than you, blah, blah, blah. This is why do fans do this? Why do fans do that? Excuse the fuck me. If fans were just to be quiet during your entire show, I'm sorry. We'd all fall fucking asleep and go see something that's interesting, like a movie, or better yet, a comedy show, something where we're allowed to laugh, we're allowed to be like, oh, that was cool, oh man, that was badass. So, you can either choose to be, you know, who you are, old school, all about dishing out advice. This is not disrespecting on an old timer, folks. This is just me venting. Straight up venting. Because I feel as if some people, some workers, and some fans believe that their shit doesn't stink. And I hate to break it to you all, but whenever you come into this world, right, and you're newborn, what stinks in a diaper? Your shit. I know that was cheesy, but still. So, I had to take a break, folks. Back to what I was saying. There's a lot of stuff that seems to be bothersome. Social media is kind of like my hub now for finding stuff. And not only that, but the conversation. The reason why I find it important to go from both perspectives, fans, fans will always be first in my mind. As a performer, as a manager, as a referee, as a wrestler, anything. You guys are the reasons why I get up in the morning and say, you know what, I want to do this podcasting. I want to be fucking crazy. I'm not crazy just for the fuck of it. I am crazy about making, you know, having a passion, and that's pro wrestling. Pro wrestling ain't something you just hang up on your fucking hang and say, oh, I take you out just because I want to use you every once in a good while. There's some guys that just ride it, ride that ride that kind of coattail for a while, then it gets old, so they hang it up to dry. I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy holding that microphone and talking. I enjoy looking at the reactions of the crowd, listening, because that's what we live for. Not just managers, wrestlers, we all live for the reaction of fans, whether it be social media, in person, live. If boo me, then I did my job, okay? I did my job, okay? Just like fans who blog about shit, you know. Speaking of which, I gave some fans shout-outs because here's the reason why I did this. Not because I had to. It's because I missed those two. And they know what I'm talking about, so. By the way, this is off-topic and totally relevant to me because tomorrow we got a big game. Mikey, what's up? Go Yankees. Hopefully we do well in Cleveland, okay? Anyways, back to wrestling. The reason why I got so pissed is because you're going to ask why fans analyze shit? You're going to ask why the marks are not happy? Maybe if they were given something better, you can't spoil a crowd all the time. But you could at least... you can at least give us some interesting things. Not just, oh, well, we're doing this because blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, we did the show this way. We had these. I don't care about the results. It's the presentation. I'm all about an entertainment, you know, having an entertaining show. I'm also about is their reasonings for doing this. Should I just look into more stuff? Am I overanalyzing shit? No, because wrestling isn't all as complicated as people make it out to be. You can make it complicated by being a douche canoe and saying, I can't believe these marks are just so disappointing. Hello, have you seen the millennials? I don't claim that side, even though I know. I know what people are going to say. Well, aren't you a millennial? No, not quite, because they were born in 96 line to now. So, point is, folks, you've got to understand why I'm a little bit upset when someone tries to take an attack on the fan. I can see where this person is coming from, but I also don't condone what was said. Simply because fans are going to be fans. They're going to be people who bitch, who cry, who complain. That's just life. You have them at work. You have them at the school. You have them in your class or whatever if you're listening to my podcast. You have bitches, period. So how are you going to avoid them when they're everywhere? When they're walking the street, when they're down at the barber shop, when you see them at the fucking Target or Costco or whatever, how are you going to avoid these people? You can't avoid wrestling fans. You can't avoid bitching. You cannot, but actually you could if you gave the fans what they wanted. It's so hard to tell, though, because the promoter gives them one thing one week, and then the next week, kaboom, they boo the fuck out of so-and-so. Well, here's an idea. It'd be nice if certain people were not shoved down the fans' throats that wouldn't get sick of them like they did Hogan in 94. Hogan was itching for a change. He was itching to be heel. Just wasn't meant to be. And I use this example because fans were griping about, okay, enough of Hogan, so then Shawn Michaels turned at the helm, 94 to about 97. Then, you know, he was used in between 98, 99, whatever. Shawn Michaels disappeared out of the face of the map after 97 for a little bit, came back in 98, a few appearances here and there, came back in 2002. How does this have anything to do? Because you look at the succession of guys, they're supposed to be the face of said company. And down the line, you're going to see Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H. Oh, is this guy's year? Oh, you know, this is going to be the greatest. You know, who the people who I remember as a child may shock you. Jake the Snake Roberts, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Brutus the Beefcake Barber, King Kong Bundy, names... You want names, Tommy Dreamer, Al Snow, Jerry Lynn, Rob Van Dam, Perry Saturn, the Douglas Brothers, Shane and Dean. 9-1-1, anybody? Doink the Clown, Mabel. I can remember a lot. Jimmy the Superfly Snuka. That's because I'm a supermark, a smark. There's two names that are synonymous, actually three, that stood out to me the most because as a child, I enjoyed Bobby the Brain Heenan. I liked Jim Cornette. Didn't care for Harvey Whippleman, but I'm pretty sure to tell you, never once did a wrestler say, why don't you quit your bitching? Why don't you stop analyzing shit? Can you imagine telling a child that or, you know, a teenager at the time, or a teenager back then, and somebody told me to stop being a fan. That's literally what fans do. So, in other words, I'm going to repeat it. If you are a worker, terminology should just be used around each other, not around fans. Fans, same thing. It shouldn't be used in front of a worker to make yourself look important. Well, I don't appreciate this, but I appreciate this. Because then certain wrestlers will have fun with you, toy with you, fuck with your emotions, and tell you you should not quit your day job. This is the most bipolar fucking podcast I've ever had in my life, but I gotta say, fans are the most diverse group of people, especially wrestling fans. You have ones that really get into it and really get into the show. Then you got the fans that really know what the difference between reality and wrestling is. As I said, you don't want to make this too complex. You don't want to have way too much on the mind. Why did they go this way? Why were the builds that way? How come the arcs for the story were, you know, from the arcs between these guys, the story arcs between these guys were the way they were? I have one word: enjoy. Enjoy the show. To enjoy or not to enjoy. You can choose to be a negative Nancy. You can choose to bitch at the wrestling show that you didn't like. Or you can choose to be the fan that enjoyed it and had a good time, bought a t-shirt, bought a title belt, had fun, took pictures with the wrestlers, signed autographs because they're fans. Mark's kind of a demeaning word. It really is. But at the same token, it's a harsh word that needs to be heard. So that fans already know, yes, all the marks, blah, blah, blah. When fans use their terms amongst each other, I cringe because we are all marks for somebody, okay? We're not just, I really like this guy, so I'm a super fan, I'm a smart. You don't hear very many people saying that. You do not hear very many people saying that bullshit. However, I'm going to tell you this right now. If fans want to cheer for Roman Reigns, let them. If fans want to cheer for John Cena, let them. Because even though those two are not the most entertaining group of guys, pair of people that I just listed, if they want to cheer for Chad Gable, let them cheer for Chad Gable. If they want to cheer or analyze and say, I really didn't like this show, and it's unfortunately some of you do post it on Facebook, but that's your right. Be able to understand that social media is a huge component for either misunderstandings or verbal lashings. unfortunately, the verbal lashings happen to be majority of what goes on in wrestling nowadays. I don't really think that wrestlers think that their words are harsh or their actions are harsh. Does it matter to some of them? No, because I'm doing what I'm going to do, and you can't stop me. You're right. I can't stop you, but I can make you well aware how big a big douche canoe you really are. And one example of that is I read through my own, you know, news feed. I happened to come across one wrestler's messages between him and a fan. Fans, yes, they can be psychotic sometimes and also kind of inappropriate at times. However, posting that on Facebook also makes you, the worker, look like a complete douche, a complete asshole. Why? Because, like, I guess some fans don't know the boundaries. Do you really have to share that, you attention whore? Also, when wrestlers are condescending, when someone asks them to be on a podcast or, you know, a TV show, hopefully you take the hint that saying no because you don't really feel it, yeah, that's okay, you know, rejection. Am I talking about a certain somebody in a roundabout way? No. Because, again, I don't mention names, but I'm pretty sure if this person was listening, you know what I'm saying. So when you put your best foot forward as a worker, what's the one thing you're supposed to do? You owe the fans a good show. You don't owe everyone a podcast. But you do owe an explanation like, well, I don't really know you. Gee. So if WWE came to your doorstep or texted you on the phone saying, hey, we need you, you know, to be on this podcast, blah, 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 of course you jump at the opportunity because it's World Wrestling Entertainment. I recently had an experience a few months ago with a gentleman who I asked to be on my show. You know, he could have just said yes or no, but instead I get, why'd you choose me? Because we choose random wrestlers, dude, to expose, you know, help expose their career regardless of whether we're a popular show or not. That's one area. And, you know, as I said, I'm not going to change people's outlooks or opinions of me, but I guarantee you, I guarantee you, the one thing that really, really irks my nerve is when somebody says, you know, I just asked for a yes or fucking no. Much like you ask the question why fans analyze shit. Well, excuse me. I call them fans. And yeah, some of them are huge marks because of their behavior. Certain fans never learn etiquette. I understand that. What I'm telling you, sir, is it'd be nice for once if fans could be on not an even playing field, but on a playing field in which you don't fucking mess with. Why? Because fans tend to take things literally. If they're the type that are sensitive through their lifestyle choices or their school choice, whatever, then they're the type in wrestling that take things deep when their favorite loses or whatever. And some may blog about it. Some may feel strongly about a certain subject matter in the line of wrestling. And yeah, they may not have concrete reasons why. They're not a fucking worker. They're fans. Fans, you gotta understand that workers don't care if you mention their matches and what they're up to on this Sunday or Thursday or Wednesday or whenever. They are fucking workers. So please understand that they shouldn't be harassed at the gym or messed with in a grocery store or whatever, or when they're washing their hands. Yes, I'm using Randy Orton references here. So Sasha Banks is not cordial with fans because she gets irritated that they harass her at the airport. Different things I read. And some people say, well, you just read the sources that, you know, and you believe everything they say. It's fake news. Guys, there, like I said, there are two sides to every story. I keep repeating myself, but in different ways. Like an ocean starts off small, then the waves just crash on you, and then it kicks your ass, and the tide comes in, and it sends you all the way into the salty ocean. And trust me, I'm speaking about my experience in L.A. at Laguna Beach. Point is, the reference or that metaphor means your words can have a ripple effect. It can start off small with small insults, and then it can grow bigger and have a deep impact on people. It can either piss someone off and we'll let you know exactly how we fucking feel, or we just be passive aggressive about it and leave subtle statuses about it and be, you know, jabbing, you know, like, you can't do this, but you can do this. Learn this, do this. Take as much advice as you want, as much advice as you can, and just grow. I mean, I honestly stopped caring about what someone was going to think of this podcast because, oh, you're just spouting off random shit. You're not really talking about something cool like this guy or that gal or this gal. Again, I'm not talking about ODB. I'm not talking about Candice LeRae. I'm not talking about Vanessa Bourne. I'm not talking about Jazzy Gabbert. I'm not talking about Leo Rush. I'm not talking about certain things or certain people. I'm focused on the subject at hand tonight, and that is wrestling terms used by fans and by workers. Point is, those terms should be used at a minimal, because if they're being overused, I don't like it when my friend uses it, because it just tends to lose its meaningfulness as a word. Just call me old school in a way, but I just like, among workers, I like to talk about, okay, so if I'm supposed to go here on this distraction, okay, I get up on the apron, you bring me into the ring, your manager pull spot, I beg for mercy, blah, blah, blah. But when you hear fans say it, your ears tend to just go, what? What was just said, huh? So, yeah, I mean, it takes on a whole new meaning. But when fans react or they're on their phone and they've got social media, you know, close in hand, what do you think is going to happen? They've got a whole line for them to choose from, where they can post it on Instagram, they can post it on Twitter, and they can post their disparaging remarks, yeah, mainly on Twitter, and also on Facebook. Because why? They have that option, and they can do so. So, case in point, folks, if you are one of those people that says you can't feel this way, you can't, you got to do this, easier said than fucking done, okay? When I decided to move to New York, you know what I heard? Oh, you'll never make it. You'll just be back with your parents in 6 months. Guess what, motherfuckers? I've been here for a whole fucking year, and I'm doing just fine. Just like I'm doing just fine stating an opinion. I'm allowed to do so. It's my right. Some people say, well, you don't have the resources. You don't have the necessary research to back up what you're saying. Guys, tell you from experience, wrestling, it's different from each area that I've been around in this country. West Coast, East Coast, North, South, wherever I've been, North and South. I mean, for God fuck's sakes, North Dakota, South Dakota. They're two good states, but they've got wrestling. Trust you me, they've got wrestling. I've been to Houston, San Antonio, Dallas. I've been to Brooklyn, you know, Brooklyn shows. I've been to the Bronx. several other shows, ladies and gents, that you understand where I'm coming from, and fans will react no matter what show it is. It could be a New Japan show showing, you know, on Flow Slam, and fans will react a certain way. Am I saying it's not right for that man to have an opinion? No. I'm just saying it's cause and effect. If you say something, there's going to be a ripple effect of how it was presented. Some people say, oh, well, that's tough love. You need to hear this as a fan. You need to, you know, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to feel this way. I'm not one for taking direction as long as it pertains to telling fans how to be. That's like poking the bear. You're going to get mauled. Okay. Fans have a say over who and what does win. You know, who fans have a say in the sense that their reaction is their the ultimate sensation, like Finn Balor when he does, you know, when he has his feud with Bray Wyatt, and he told the fans, like, fans need to buck up and get the fuck over it. Or actually, Goldust said that, my bad, Dustin Rhodes on Twitter. He's right. Some of you really need to do all of the wrestlers, all the workers a favor. See what I did right there? Some of you just need to grow the fuck up and accept the fact that people cannot be winners all the time, or people cannot, you know, pass a test or whatever. So what I'm saying is certain wrestling fans are stuck in that world where reality doesn't exist for them, and everything can, and anything can happen. In a sense, for where they're, what they're watching, depending on what type of fan they are, yeah, they do have that right. You're correct, sir. Jim from Indiana, or Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention the city. Your question to me is, when can I call in? You can call in anytime, man, at 213-943-3422. I've got 5 minutes left on the show. You want to answer? Okay, so you want to ask him a question. All right. Anthony from Sheepshead Bay asked me, why is it so important for people to see things from two perspectives? What does it matter? I mean, they're still going to beat the shit out of each other. No, not necessarily. Because maybe if things are brought to the attention on social media, they get the attention via this podcast. Maybe, maybe not. So my answer to that question is, why see things from two perspectives? Because if you don't see things from two perspectives, you're always going to be looking through the blinders and not, you know, looking up to see what's really going on. What's really going on is workers are, yeah, they're great above fans in certain regards. But when it comes to telling them what they can and cannot do, that's pretty dumb in my book. And that's why some workers are behind, in my opinion. They want, the fans should do this, the fans should do that. They're not workers, guys. And fans dictating the, you know, how the workers are, you're not a booker and you're not a promoter. So please leave the terminologies out your mouth. Unless you have stepped through ropes, done some form of wrestling training. I'm not talking about your backyard, because that's where some of you are. I wrestled in the backyard. Kind of just, you know, ponder why certain people, well, the Hardys did it in their backyard. That's because the Hardys are a different breed, man. Does that set them apart from all the backyard wrestlers? No. Point is, when you have a thought that demeaning, I mean, unless it's funny, keep it to yourself. I'm just really, really trying not to be like, oh, well, I feel refreshed now that I vented about what someone said. No, it really bothered me. It really fucking bothered me. Like, okay, so you want to call names like Marks and all that stuff. Weren't you a Mark for somebody? I was a mark for a respectable person. Still a mark. No matter how well you look at it, you're still a mark. All of us were. Whether it was for Stan Hansen, whether it was for Vader, whether it was for Harley Race, whether it was for Cactus Jack, Pretty Boy Larry Sharp, whether it was for Savio Vega, and I don't know how many people were marks for him, but there are marks that exist for everybody that really follow your career. There's marks for me, I bet you. Anyways, folks, I'm going to retire tonight because I'm about to fall over and pass the fuck out. I hope you understood what I was trying to relay to you guys because it's important to me. Very, very fucking important to me to have fans be into your stuff, know what you're talking about, can say, hey, I know what the fuck this guy is saying. It's important to me. Because if you're not intuitive about it, then you're never going to freaking understand. So this is B-Train signing off, folks. I'm done. From Brooklyn, go Yanks. I will see you all. Actually, you guys will hear me from me on Tuesday at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Central. Toodles, bitches. Have a good night. See you on the flip side. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be. I'm the cup.